Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast presented by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. IAMensCenter.com is where you can find them. Check out their game chats that they bring to us each and every Iowa State game during the Big 12 season. CycloneFanatic.com, IAMensCenter.com. Welcome in Rob Gray to the podcast this morning.
Good morning.
Rob, I'm going to just throw it out there. I'm a little bit perturbed with you this morning.
Great.
I mean, you're a Vikings fan, right? You're a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Sure. And I told you about 1976 making me mad. I mean, that's six-year-old kid running around angry.
You were rooting for the Green Bay Packers yesterday?
I wasn't rooting for the Green Bay Packers. I simply was not rooting against the Green Bay Packers. My dad's a Packers fan, so when I was a...
It means nothing to me. If you're a Vikings fan and you were rooting for the Packers, you're not a real Vikings fan.
I was not rooting for them. I was simply not rooting against them. Did you not listen to what I said?
If you're not rooting against them, you're rooting for them.
No, that's not true. I mean, if I'm ambivalent about something, that means I want it to happen.
If you're what about something?
Ambivalent. You know, like, I don't really care. It could go one way or the other.
Yeah. No, pretty much. Hey, Jared, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
Not bad. It's always impressive when you walk in at 9 o'clock in the morning. That means you have to leave Ames by, like, 8:30.
Yep.
You don't even have school today.
That's correct. I was up at 7:45 getting ready to go.
So you got your Dr. Pepper?
Yep. That's my fuel. For you guys, it's the coffee. For me, it's the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, we're going to get you on coffee at some point, Jared. That's my goal by the end of your junior year.
Okay.
Is to have you drinking coffee.
Okay.
It will change your life. Am I wrong, Rob?
Coffee is good coffee now. See, we differ on this too, Chris.
Maxwell House isn't good coffee?
I'll remain mute. I'll fall mute in terms of that one. But, yeah, coffee, you got to find the right balance, though. Too much makes you way too jittery. Same holds true for Dr. Pepper.
That's terrible advice, Jared. Drink it. When you start drinking coffee, binge drink with it, okay? As much as you can,
okay. Whenever
you can. If you have an opportunity, grab some.
That's how I end up at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, though.
He's learning. He's learning. I love this.
Chris, you were like my 16-year-old self. You're just channeling the way I was with my dad when the Vikings played the Packers. He couldn't stay in a room with me.
Yeah.
Because I was so anti-Packers.
Yes.
That's
the Rob Gray I love. That's the Rob Gray I love. And you're just drinking coffee and whiskey the whole time, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Like,
not at 16, I hope not. But
I was fantasizing about it.
When you were – was the drinking age still 21 when you were young?
Just as I was getting there, I think when I was 16 or 17, they had the 18 still.
Yeah.
And then they went up. I remember hearing about fellow Ames High grads having their, like – senior skip day, heading out to one of the parks and up a few cases and
beer 30, baby.
Yeah, that was I was quite envious once I hit that age and realized I couldn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, legally.
Absolutely. IAMensCenter.com. All right, we should probably talk a little basketball, as it was a fairly significant day, I thought, for Iowa State, and it all started. Rob wasn't there. Rob was still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when College Game Day went on the air, Jared,
I was tweeting from the friendly confines of the new Ankeny abode.
That was good because you gave us the perspective of the fan at home on your Twitter feed. While Jared and I were at, we were at Hilton Coliseum, where it was a wild day.
Mm-hmm.
So they let the fans in at 8, and we were expecting, Jared, for like all the students just to run in, like tackle each other to try and get the front row. But it was very anticlimactic as they kind of like trickled in a very orderly fashion, Rob. They were – so apparently ESPN has to check all the signs.
Yeah.
And it took forever. I mean, at like 8:30, there were still thousands of people left outside as they were individually going through the signs. But nonetheless – once everybody got in there, man, it was rowdy.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely very, very loud.
My whole deal, my take on the whole day in general was that the game really was just kind of the cherry on top of what was an outstanding day. because, boy, you would have hated to have all of what went down, you know, starting on Friday and then lose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A game that you were favored in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was so I was impressed by the way that Fred Hoiberg's team really did not let the bright lights of ESPN being in town get to them. They acted like they belonged in that spotlight. And more importantly, and this was the take I really had after the game, was the crowd. The crowd went into this game with Kansas where they fully expected to win, as they should. And you know what? Iowa State was a much better basketball team than Kansas.
Yeah.
And I think I'm saying that objectively. They were 15 points better. Had they – 15 might – that's probably on the extreme end, but at least 10 if they make some free throws at the end, they don't lose their mind. I mean, Iowa State tried to let Kansas back into that game with the Monte Morris technical, which I don't really agree with, but whatever. And then you factor in all the missed free throws at the end. Iowa State should have won by 10 at least, Rob.
No, I agree. And I'd say objectively they're a – better team on the floor at Hilton. We'll see what happens at Allen Fieldhouse.
I think they win at Allen Fieldhouse this year.
You really do?
Yeah. I'm calling my shot right now. After watching those two teams play, they play in like 2 weeks there, 2-3 weeks. Iowa State will win that game. That's my prediction.
Strange things happen in Allen Fieldhouse.
It's a bad matchup for Kansas.
It is, but
Iowa State plays on the road.
I think last year true. I mean, without the MBs, but they find a way, man. I mean, I would not be – I mean, we saw how good Frank Mason is offensively, even though he missed some time there when he had to leave and go to the locker room. Some of those big guys might start getting it. I don't know. It's going to be super tough. If they do, though, I mean, look out, because if they can win at Allen Fieldhouse, and again, it's not that late in the conference season, I mean, that would have to make them feel like they could certainly win – anywhere, obviously.
I'm calling my shot right now. No, I'm not predicting Iowa State goes like two losses through the Big 12 or anything, but they will win that game. I like that matchup.
I can see it.
Jared, you're the basketball savant here. You agree with me?
Yeah, I think actually I do. I think that I'm just not a huge fan of this year's Kansas team.
Neither do I.
I haven't been
the whole
year.
I think they're like an 11-7 Big 12 team after seeing them in person.
I mean, they just don't have – every single year when Kansas – plays Iowa State, it just seems like they've got that one or two guys that they can always rely on to score or make a big play, like a guy like a Wiggins or an Embiid or McLemore a couple years ago. And then this year, like, I mean, Kelly Oubre is a good player, Perry Ellis is a good player, but Frank Mason's a good player. They just don't have that it factor that you see in some of the other Kansas superstars.
Because every year when you play Kansas, there, like you said, there's one or two guys where no matter what you do,
they're going to get theirs.
Yeah, you can't stop them no matter what you do. This year's team, I think it's a good team.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 3 or 4 seed.
I don't think they're
after
a top 10
seeing
team.
Them in person, that's not the team that will win the Big 12 this year, in my opinion.
If they go in 11-7 in the Big 12, they're not going to be a 3 or 4 seed.
Probably not.
I think they're a better team than you do. Look at it this way. Bill Self doesn't always say he thought his team was terrible after the game, like he did on Saturday night. That transition defense, that what they called transition defense, was non-existent. I mean, Jameel McKay, I mean, Monte talked about it to a handful of us. Me, I think Randy Peterson and Travis Hines were there, you know, post game.
Yeah.
About literally, he was surprised. He said he's never been part of a game at this level in which they scored so many baskets in transition after a made hoop on the other end. And Kansas, he said he knew Kansas wasn't a very good transition defense team by watching him on film. Now, I can't believe that Bill Self with his track record doesn't shore that up a little bit. But I get what you guys are saying, though, about that it factor. There really doesn't seem to be anybody that has that. Can Mason take over a game? It spurts, but he can't do it
for
a whole game. When you need someone, who's the guy at Kansas that does it? Seldon's a nice player, too, but he's, you know.
He's not Ben McLemore.
Yeah. I mean.
Here's my 11-7, though. I mean, I think the Big 12 champ, like KenPom, has the Big 12 champ projected to have 6 losses. So that means you're still in the ballpark if you go 11-7.
Well, that's true. Well, they come into league play with 2 losses, so that would take them up to 9 total.
Yeah, they lost to Temple and they lost to Kentucky.
Yeah, it could be 3-4, particularly considering their RPI, given their monster non-conference. But I think you're going to see a Big 12 winner maybe with 5 losses. Yeah. Ken Pom knows a heck of a lot more than I do, plus he's got the bank of computers to aid him along the way.
It's like a Silicon Valley, like server company if you go to Ken Pom's office. I don't know. I think they're a good team. I think Kansas is a good team. I think that Kansas is probably the second or third best team in the Big 12, though. I think Iowa State right now is your bona fide top team in the Big 12.
Based on what we saw Saturday night.
Based on what I've seen, like, total picture of everybody.
Whole season?
No, I'm saying since league play began. The Baylor game is going to be maddening for Iowa State.
Yes.
I mean, that's one where if they win that.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma's weird to me. So Oklahoma goes to Kansas tonight. Kansas is a 5.5-point favorite. I think that they're going to. Well, I thought that they were going to continue to get better because they had a lot of pieces, you know, the transfer and all that stuff that Lon Kruger seemed to be working into and they seemed like they were gelling at the beginning of the year, but then you drop one at home to Kansas State. They're just weird things going on with that Oklahoma team. They seem very inconsistent right now. If they can kind of find a medium, I think that they're right into the mix. Texas is weird.
Yeah.
Texas certainly has the talent, you know, to be right there, but they're inconsistent too. Iowa State, to me, I feel like is the one team since league play began. They showed up against Baylor. They just, you know, they lost their mind there for the first 5 minutes and couldn't quite cover up that, you know, the deficit that they dug early on. But I just think that it's a good road team. I like Iowa State on the road. They almost, you know, the neutral court hasn't been great to them so far this year, but they always show up when they're playing away from home.
And the neutral court is matchups, too. I mean, Maryland, we've seen darn good team.
RPI is like 13 right now for Maryland.
16-point loss on an okay Michigan State team, you know, pretty good Michigan State team, and they're up atop the Big Ten. And South Carolina was just one of those matchup deals. I mean, that just crazy. But, no, I see a lot of your points, and I agree with a lot of them. I just think, gosh, look at Oklahoma State at home. Yeah. Almost lost that game. Iowa State did, you know, 2-point win at West Virginia, which is a huge win, although West Virginia did get spanked, like, to, you know, kind of like Iowa State at West Virginia style last year. They got that at Texas on Saturday, but the consistency part is what I like about what you're saying, because they're finding a way in all those games except for Baylor, where Kenny Cherry looked like a push-off to me. Looked like a push-off to Jay Williams of ESPN, too.
Yeah, he about it. Reiterated that on Friday when we interviewed him.
Yeah, so, to see Iowa State play with that consistency, and still, yes, you got to worry about the free throws a little bit. I'm not so worried about those few extra turnovers down the stretch because Kansas ratcheted up the pressure. They still got athletes. They still got length. And that's going to happen to some degree. They're still also – they had won 9 out of the last 10 in that building at Hilton. So there's maybe a little bit of – that ghost in the back of some Cyclones minds. I can't disagree. I mean, I think it's going to be an unbelievably fun and wild and unpredictable ride. But, yeah, the Cyclones look to be in the driver's seat, especially if they can cool off this shockingly hot Kansas State team on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And we'll be heading up after we get done recording this to Fred Hoiberg's press conference and media stuff later on today, where Iowa State will take on Kansas State coming up tomorrow. You know, and the reason I guess I'm so high on Iowa State too, guys, is their depth is great. You usually hope that you don't need it, though. But with Iowa State, though, you're just seeing – we've seen time and time again now where, you know, like an Abdul Nader, for instance, 2-3 years ago would have been a starter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who he's giving him good minutes when he goes in there, and he's a role player.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy with that size, with that ability to be able to do what he's doing off the bench for 15 minutes a game. Jamil McKay is not even a starter, you know. And that, if starter is a loose term with Fred Hoiberg. It doesn't really matter if you start. It's how you end the game. But no, the point being is, in the past, the depth really hasn't been there, Jared, where now if Niang's having a bad night or if Naz is having a bad night, these other guys are really actually stepping up. We're not just saying, well, they could step up. We've seen it time and time again now.
Well, I came on here 2 weeks ago and said that I thought Jamal McKay would be the best player on this team by the end of the season.
It's looking good right now.
And it's getting close because he is a game changer, man. He comes on the floor and you just know something's going to happen.
Averaging 2.7 blocks per game in 7 games, and he's not playing that much.
Right. I honestly think this is another bold thing to say, but I think that he has a chance to next year be an All-American. Now, I'm not going to say first, second, or third team, but he definitely could be an All-American next season. That's my opinion.
Well, if he
– if he continues to develop a little bit more.
Develop the offensive game just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because defensively, I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Right.
He's completely changed the way that Iowa State plays basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's made it single-handedly pretty much where Iowa State doesn't have to score 85 points a game to win, where in the past you're just – if you're Iowa State, you're trying to outscore the other team.
I love
they're
watching
getting
him.
Stops.
I love watching him run rim to rim.
Oh,
I mean,
I know.
He is, he does that as well as anybody in the Big 12, probably in the country. And he's so good at that.
The like 2 minute stretch he had in the second half on Saturday night was as impressive of a 2 minute stretch as I've seen in a long time from an Iowa State player. Where he, you know, the it started with the alley oop, went back down. Had another dunk, blocked a shot, had another dunk. I think he scored 6 in a row for Iowa State, if I'm not mistaken. But defensively, I mean, he did a lot on Saturday night of what Fred Hoiberg always talks about, where he impacted shots even if he wasn't blocking them.
Yes.
I saw a lot of that from McKay.
Absolutely. I saw Perry Ellis drive baseline a couple times, and he got past guys, and you could see that he was – maybe looking to pass. He wasn't sure what he was going to do there. And, I mean, obviously in the past, if it's George Niang, as big of a star as he is, he's not that type of guy that is going to make you not want to put it up once you've got some momentum going toward the rim. McKay showed that. And that, let's not forget, of course, on each of those baskets where he started that, I believe, 16-4 run, Monte Morris set him up beautifully.
Beautiful passes.
He's decent, Monte.
Yeah, he's not.
he's having an okay year.
He's not too bad. He's not too bad. I just love the way he talks too. The confidence that he has in himself and his team.
You talked to
tremendous.
Him after the game, right?
Yeah. A few of us did, and he talked about how McKay, and this was in my story too. I kind of framed it that way because I thought it was interesting that they're roommates, and he said. Jamil's been, and he kind of imitated Jamil, like raised his voice a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, and said, "All right, man, throw those up to me. I'm going to get them." And he's like, "But, you know, I don't turn the ball over, though. So
it's got to be a good pass.
I got to think about it." And man, those were good passes. And as they develop that on-court chemistry, McKay's back heals up a little bit more. It, like Jared said, the way he can get from one end to the other with that size and that wingspan is just – unbelievable. And I could see All-American next year. I'm still not sure he'll be the best player on this team this year, but I mean, given what he can do, and you know, Fred develops guys offensively, and working with Niang and seeing his moves certainly can't hurt a guy like him down there. I don't see that at all as outside the realm of possibility.
I love the way that they'll be able to park him in the short corner, and then any time that someone drives into the lane, if his guy has to help off, you can throw the lob to him right there. Yeah. That's something I've always loved about the way Kentucky plays. Mm-hmm. They always did that a lot when Anthony Davis, and they do that a lot with Willie Cauley-Stein now. I just love that. That's just adds a whole new dynamic to the way they can play offensively.
Great point.
And we've just seen, too, I think, the energy that he brings. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like your Tyrus McGee right now, just in a completely different way of doing it, but you can tell when McKay comes off the bench, it's a spark for that team.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of what you're talking about, Jared. Mm-hmm. There's that.
He's just got that ability to just make a big play anytime.
Yeah, and he changes the way. So when you bring him off the bench, it's like throwing a changeup.
Right.
Kind of like McGee was. This guy comes off the bench and you got to guard him.
Yeah.
beyond NBA range, you know? And now, like, it's a whole different look for Iowa State when he goes out there. Did you guys watch – have you watched the replay yet? Did you DVR it?
I did DVR it. I haven't gotten around to watching
it yet. But Jay Bill is just salivating all over Monte Morris in that second half.
Well, we know that Greenberg made him the number one and stuck to his guns, number one point guard in the nation. How can you argue with that? Certainly in terms of his efficiency. But, I'm looking forward to watching that replay and hearing what they had to say. And, I mean, because you go back to November when I got on that teleconference in Greenberg.
Yeah.
Said he got killed by Cyclone Nation for saying he was going to be a really good role. McKay was going to be a really good role player. And in a sense, that's not wrong.
No, it's not.
Because he is a role player. His
kind
role
is
to disrupt on the defensive
<You're right>.
End and to facilitate – better transition on offense, and he's done both those things perfectly. If it's one thing to be a role, not like he said, like Greenberg said, not everyone can be a George Niang, not everyone can be a Monte Morris. That is that everything's running through you at all times, that you are going to have an impact throughout all 40 minutes. McKay conditioning, back issues, he's not to that point yet, but he certainly could be at some point. But in terms of a role player, he's at like, I don't know, 100% of capacity in those categories. So he's been the consummate role player.
Just think about this. We have a guy, or there's going to be a guy in Monte, George, and Jamel McKay coming back next year that Rob just said he thinks could have all 40-minute potential, like just being dominant.
Yeah.
And they're coming back. They're not even seniors.
I was thinking about that watching the game again.
Yeah.
No, I mean, DeJon Jones is what you lose.
Yeah.
And Hogue.
And Hogue, yeah. Hogue's tough to replace.
Right.
Yeah.
Hogue is tougher to replace than DeJon Jones based off of what we've seen so far, just because that energy. But, no, it is exciting, though. I mean, to think that you have the core of Morris, Niang, and
– And we don't even know who they're going to add yet. I mean, they could end up adding a transfer or something like that.
They will.
Yeah, I mean
– Well, Deontay Burton.
Shooter, well, yeah, besides Deontay Burton, I guess.
Remember and how
Hollis,
good a shooter
Hollis
Cook,
Cook will be in.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to need a post of some sort.
Yeah.
I would think, but well, whatever. They've clearly got the recruiting thing worked out in their heads. But I mean, if we know anything from Iowa State, it's that little free agency period after the season where all these guys are transferring. They're going to pick up somebody.
Deontay Burton is an interesting cat too. I mean, given he can shoot it from outside, and everyone's seen those Vine dunks of him taking off about 13 feet out, and
he's an athlete.
Yeah.
No He's doubt. An athlete. All right, let's look quickly ahead. I like to when we're here in the morning, I like to preview what's coming up tonight. In the Big 12 Conference, Texas is at TCU. The Longhorns are 3-point favorites over the Horned Frogs. Texas, of course, coming off of that big win over West Virginia on Saturday. West Virginia is a weird team to me. I like them a lot. I think they defend their home court. They're going to struggle on the road, I think. But nonetheless, it was a big win for Texas. They had to have that, I think, if they're going to have a chance at the Big 12 championship tonight. TCU, again, is a 3-point underdog. TCU just beat Texas Tech over the weekend. That one is a bit of a yawner. But still, when you go into Fort Worth, be prepared to be lulled to sleep by the crowd. They're playing in that like high school gym right now.
Yep.
That's a weird game for anybody this year, I think, going into that arena.
Yeah, I think and we talked about it. I mean, TCU was a fraud in terms of being a top 25 team, but they're much improved.
Yeah.
They've got some guys who can score. They've always been able to defend with Johnson there leading them. So I think it'll be a tough game. I think Texas manages to beat that spread, given how they got it going, particularly with the big men against West Virginia. I mean, that was just a dunk fest. And, you know, as Isaiah Taylor gets going back into the swing of things, I think they're going to cement themselves as one of those top three, four contenders, the core that can have a chance at the Big 12 title.
Texas's losses this year, overtime to Stanford, Oklahoma, which that one was a laugher.
Yeah.
And at Oklahoma State. So, and Kentucky.
Yeah.
At Kentucky.
Yeah. And they played them.
Played them tough.
Pretty tough well. For a while, yeah.
The point is, let's not over-exaggerate and Texas is 2-2 in the league, but I agree with you, Rob. I think they're there in the end. And then the big one on Big Monday, Oklahoma is at Kansas. Short turnaround for the Jayhawks. In fact, Bill Self made a comment in his post-game press conference about how the league bylaws actually prevent you from playing a late-night Saturday game and then having to turn around and play a Monday game. But somehow this one slipped through the cracks, to quote Coach Self.
Kansas is always getting picked on.
Right? Yeah. I mean, just being forced into that big Monday time slot. How dare those bastards from the Big 12. Yeah, but 5.5 is your line right there. This is I am super interested in this game. Oklahoma is a fascinating team to me because they, you know, let's look at Oklahoma's losses while we're at it. At Creighton, that game was so early in the season. Yeah. Those teams, if you threw them out there now, Oklahoma would beat Creighton by 15 points.
Sure.
Number 2, Wisconsin. They lost to number 16, Washington. And then Kansas State, which we'll get to them momentarily, and at West Virginia. There's really not a bad loss there for Oklahoma, and they've got some nice wins too. At Kansas, I don't really have a feel for this tonight, guys. I mean, I think you make Kansas the favorite based off of the home court, but if they're on a neutral court, that's probably around a pick 'em. I think this is a bit of a toss-up. I think Oklahoma is a pretty good road team, as we've seen, throwing out the West Virginia game. But this would be a great game tonight. Potentially the two best teams talent-wise that most people thought coming into the season. Of course, Texas in the mix too. But fascinating game tonight on Big Monday. What do you see happening, Jared?
I like KU. I think that they
bounce back.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to come in and bounce back. I think you'll get a big game from Perry Ellis. That's what I'll say.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. We don't always agree, like on coffee and rooting for pro teams, Chris. But I agree completely with what you said to break down this game. I am at a total loss because as much as the ESPN dude said, and it was spot on, Iowa State was going to be kind of carrying the flag against Kansas on Saturday night. You know, this team can be toppled kind of thing because you know, everyone knows that Kansas can be, but until they lose, you can't see that. This is another chance. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma's got another chance to do that. And with the talent they've got, Heald, Spangler, so many guys, and the fact that they've struggled a little bit, you know, I think it's a pick 'em even at Allen Fieldhouse. I think it goes down to the wire.
I do too.
Even though Kansas feels that they need to come back and make a statement, I think Oklahoma is every bit the team that they are.
Yeah.
And they feel like they don't want to go to 2-3.
Yeah.
Certainly. And, you know, Oklahoma can get out and transition when they want. It's a fascinating matchup. You're right. I mean, it'll be appointment viewing because there are so many things that one team needs to improve on and show that they can do to succeed, and the other team also needs to do counter to that to show that they can get something going.
I wouldn't put a dime on this game if I were a gambler.
No way.
I wouldn't touch it.
Nope.
Tomorrow night, I don't want to spend too much time on Kansas State because we've got about 15 minutes to go, and I want to touch on women's basketball and a wrestling note as well, a little football recruiting maybe if we have time. But Kansas State comes to town. It's weird for Iowa State because there was so much energy towards that Kansas game. Mm-hmm. Now you blink and the first place, the other first place team comes to town who you didn't really expect to be a first place team when conference play began. You know, I've been pretty vocal about even when Kansas State was really struggling, do not fall asleep on them because if Marcus Foster ever decides that he wants to play basketball, they're pretty tough to beat just because of him. Mm-hmm. Now they're kind of clicking. They survived at home against Baylor, but they've got a win at Oklahoma, which is just eye-popping to me at the time. But this is a team with enough talent, just enough talent, they can beat anybody on any given night. So it's important for Iowa State to really have that same Kansas level of focus tomorrow night when Kansas State comes down. If they do, I think Iowa State wins by 10 points.
I agree.
If they don't, you know, Kansas State could do what Oklahoma State did to you and make it very interesting down the stretch. But you agree with me, Jared?
Yeah, I'm going to refrain from picking the game because I'm actually on the call for KURE.
Oh, okay.
So But, yeah, I definitely think that if Kansas State comes in and they just play their game and then Iowa State, if they just aren't on the same level as they were on Saturday, if the crowd is still just kind of got that hangover, they're still thinking about that big win from Saturday night, K-State could definitely come into Hilton and win.
Rob?
I guess I shouldn't make a pick. But I'm going to try.
You can, that's what
I think
do.
It's different when you're calling a game versus covering it with the notebook.
If I couldn't make picks, I don't know what I would do.
Oh, my God.
That's what I love doing.
Well,
and then
can
I have
make picks unless he's on the game.
Yeah, I just don't like to do it when I'm going to do the play-by-play for the game.
He's ethical. We've taught him something.
That's absolutely right. I think Iowa State wins this game easily. 15.
Just no love
17.
For, no love for Marcus Foster.
I'm counting on Marcus Foster not having that big of an impact because he's sort of shown that he's not going to have that big of an impact in a lot of these games. I mean, but what's impressive is how well they played in weathering the Baylor game while he had to sit with the four fouls. And then he remained sitting because that core that kind of came together in his absence played so well.
Mm-hmm. They've won four in a row.
And they're finding guys to come through that they didn't necessarily expect. I know Williams did a lot of stuff early, and he's still doing some things, but they're finding other guys to contribute.
Yeah, Williams, Gibson's on a roll right now.
I just feel like Iowa State is going to take care of business, and I feel like Kansas State is in, when push comes to shove, they're not going to be a contender in the league. They're going to be a nice team, maybe 10-8.
What, like a 12 seed? You think they're in the tournament?
I think they are.
They've got a huge hole to dig out of, but they're in the best league in America, so they've got an opportunity.
That'll help, and I think that'll remain that way as the teams keep beating up on each other and all of that. I think they're a bubble team that maybe should be a little bit higher, but the fact that they're gonna lose some of these games. They're going to win almost all of them at home, if not all of them. But on the road,
I agree.
It's going to be tough, and I think Iowa State's ready for them this time.
Yeah, it is kind of fascinating. If you look at the Big 12 standings right now, take Texas Tech out of it, they're 10-8, and horrible. But Kansas State's 11-7. You know, the second.
Yeah.
You take Texas Tech out, the team that's lost the most games this season is number one in the league.
And what's funny is it's not like they played Kansas played a tougher schedule. I mean, Kansas State had those head-shaking losses. I mean, not all of them. I mean, it's not like they lost to a bunch of chumps in the non-conference. But there were some in there that just jumped off that you said, how in the heck did they lose that game? So kudos to them for righting the ship, and they're always going to play tough. I just don't think they have enough to stay with Iowa State. And I think Iowa State has a bad taste in their mouth the way they didn't quite finish off Kansas the way they'd wanted to. I think they'll be sharp.
They're 4-1 in the league. The wins are against TCU by 5. That was ugly. I remember watching that one.
Mm-hmm. Texas Tech.
Texas Tech at home. So that's 2 home games, 3 home games with 2 points over Baylor. The one loss was at Oklahoma State, which a lot of teams will lose there. The outlier, though, that makes everybody scratch their head is at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because I think you can take the rest of those and go, I would have taken even heading into the conference year where they were really struggling, I still would have picked Kansas State at home against TCU, Texas Tech, and Baylor.
Yep.
I would have picked them to lose at Oklahoma State. But at Oklahoma, that's the one that's got to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that Fred Hoiberg's going to be using over the next 24 hours to demand some respect from his team. All right, let's move on. Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Go on in and get that annual physical if you haven't yet. Let's do the women real quick, Jared. I didn't get to see much on this game as it was going on during the Iowa State Kansas game, but nonetheless, it was a nice win for Iowa State on Saturday night against Kansas State. Boy, I didn't I saw them winning potentially because I saw Kansas State play them earlier and I wasn't that impressed. Iowa State turned it over like 20 times or something and still found a way to win. But you go on the road in this league and win by 20. That's a nice win no matter who you're playing.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And Coach Finley said on Friday, in this their season, it comes down to figure out how many teams you can sweep and then just don't try to put together losing streaks. And that's what they were going to try and go in there and do. They just had to get a sweep and try and avoid a two-game losing streak. And for them to be able to go on the road and do that, that was impressive.
They're kicking themselves for that TCU game right now.
Yeah, for
They'd
sure.
be 4-1 in the league had they not blown that lead. And the women's schedule is weird. Mm-hmm. So TCU comes to town on Wednesday, but then they go to Texas this weekend. It's like all the teams they've already played, they're lapping them.
Yeah,
why is that?
Finally said that he was like, just every year there's some weird quirks in the schedule, and this was just their year to get a quirky schedule where they end up playing everybody right at the beginning of the season, just playing twice right in a row. Yeah,
I guess it kind of works in your favor though.
Yeah,
I mean, if I'm him, I'd rather see Kansas State and TCU early.
Well, yeah, that's what he said. He was glad they were able to play Kansas State earlier
after they're
the first
get
one. Yeah, because then plus you don't have to change the game plan that much from where it was originally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he said, yeah, we'll tweak it a little bit, but essentially we're going to go into this with the same game plan that we had the first time, and it worked.
Good win for them. Wednesday night, TCU comes to town, I believe, Wednesday night, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So Jared will have some coverage for that. Rob, I want to touch on wrestling quickly with you before we wrap this thing up. And I, you know, folks, I've been pretty honest with you over the years. I appreciate wrestling. I am not a wrestling savant by any means.
Nor am I.
But you've covered the sport for decades. Well, you haven't.
I covered the sport for one long year.
Well, it seemed like a decade.
But and I helped out at state tournaments.
You've been around.
I've learned thanks to the great people that are in that sport to help me learn.
That's what I love about wrestling, because they really truly appreciate coverage and they.
Oh yeah, and I mean, if you take interest in that sport, and once you get to understand it a little bit, and the right rules are in place, and there's offense. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible to watch.
So they beat number 6.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech on Sunday. Now, I remember Virginia Tech from a couple years ago as like a power.
No, I mean, they're number 6, so they've got something. I mean, not everyone always is going to wrestle their top lineups, but Virginia Tech wasn't throwing out any. No.
Why wouldn't you – tell me this. If you're a wrestling coach, why wouldn't you wrestle your top lineup?
Well, you need to keep guys healthy. I mean, we saw Iowa State go.
So you just
sandbag
till March.
Scuffle. Well, if a guy is going to further hurt himself by going out on the mat, you got to keep him out, no matter what it means to the team. Now, I think Virginia Tech had a lot of good guys out there, and they got good guys behind the good guys. Either way, as good as they are, that's a very, very impressive win for Iowa State in a cool environment, obviously, with that Beauty and the Beast deal with the gymnastics.
I think those Virginia Tech guys were looking at the beauty.
they might have been distracted by the beauty a little bit, and that's never good in a sport like that.
But they beat them handily, Rob, 21-12. Is Iowa State wrestling about to go back on the map, or am I jumping to?
I think they're already there by virtue of some of the guys that have. You know, All-American a couple years in a row. Your Kyvin Getzens, your Mike Marino's, Gabe Marino coming up.
Clarinda,
you
know, boys.
I was saying, shout out to the Clarinda homies.
Crazy. Yep. But you've got other guys like Earl Hall coming into his own. Dante Rodriguez winning the 141 job. Luke Gettle can do some things at 149. Weatherspoon at 184. I mean, and Trent Weatherman. I mean, Tana Weatherman, sorry. There have been so many Weathermans.
Those are the badasses from Huxley,
they've
right?
They've got a real yes. They've got a really, really nice lineup, and they're built to do well.
How are they not ranked? How is Iowa State not ranked?
Supposedly number 13. You've got these other the different polls. You got the NWCA/USA Today.
What's the main ranking for the Intermat thing?
I think Intermat is probably it, but I mean, other people, you know, might go another way. But either way, they were considered basically a top 15 wrestling team.
So they're
in
like
a dual meet setting.
There's not like a top 25 for wrestling.
There is. I mean, I just don't think you can put a ton of stock into it, except outside of, once you get out of the top 3 or 4, it's kind of.
Do they rank you based off of like your dual strength, or you know, like are the rankings set up in wrestling where it's like, oh, the number 20 team would lose to the number 18 team in a duel? Or do they just look at your lineup and say, I like this lineup for like a tournament setting? How does that work?
See, that's funny because I can't say for sure, but I think some are more oriented toward taking duels into account.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you would score better at a tournament or something like that.
Not necessarily. Just yeah. Some teams are definitely built better for tournaments. I think Iowa State's built pretty well for tournaments. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Guys need to stay healthy. Mike Marino had his health issues.
Other Shout out to Clarinda.
With health issues. But he came back and was immediately where he would be expected to be, which was dominant. So, I mean, it's they're looking good. I mean, and they've got Oklahoma State coming to town, a team that's been a huge nemesis since Iowa State was the team. Those were great battles in the past. And this is before I covered the sport, but, I mean, and Oklahoma was in there sometimes too, the glory days of the Big 12, which even – or Big 8, really. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, occasionally Oklahoma in that mix. Those were electric types of things, Missouri occasionally in there. It should be like that on Sunday because Oklahoma State's vulnerable and Iowa State has kept gathering confidence throughout the season. And it, I know we, you know, based on timing, we don't get to a lot of meets, but I'm really fascinated. I mean, I'm really interested to hear what Kevin Jackson has to say about what their chance against the Cowboys and some of the guys when they have media availability on Tuesday out of the big game against Kansas State on the men's basketball side.
I don't know a lick about wrestling. I'm going to call my shot. Clones over Oklahoma State this weekend.
I agree with you. I think they'll find a way.
Do we have a credential for wrestling?
We can get one.
I'd cover the rest. I'd cover a wrestling.
You want to cover the wrestling?
Yeah, I'd cover a wrestling.
We'll get you a credential for that.
Okay. Yeah, I've been saying that I need to get up to one to watch Mike and Gabe. So
this is a good one to do.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
I mean, they'll find out a lot about themselves on Sunday.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll make the call.
Sounds good.
That's the thing with our wrestling. Like, I've always wanted to cover wrestling more. It's just we're a business, mm-hmm. like anything. And it doesn't get clicks. People don't – it's just weird. Like, we tried to do it when we started. So that's why when Rob's done some nice wrestling pieces this year, and I keep telling our wrestling guys, because there are wrestling fans on our forum, and they're great guys, and they really appreciate the coverage. And I'm like, tell your buddies to read this, because if we can start to turn that – we don't cover women's basketball just because it's fun. People want to read it.
Right.
And they do. Right. You know, and that's the thing with I hope Iowa State can kind of become nationally relevant again, because I think if they do, there's an appetite for it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And it, as excitement builds, those clicks build. I mean, anyone theoretically might click on a good feature, but in terms of game or match coverage and that kind of stuff, that's when that falls off, when people aren't as excited. I think they're getting increasingly excited.
I hope so. We should get Kevin Jackson on a podcast this offseason.
That'd be outstanding.
Yeah, we should. And he kind of scares me, but I'd like to get him on the podcast.
You know, he's one of the more affable wrestling coaches.
Yeah,
KJ. I mean, obviously we know two-time world champ, Olympic champ, all that stuff.
I wouldn't want to mess with that guy.
No. But
one of the coolest interviews I've ever done. Every once in a while, like when Walters is gone, like when the men's basketball has like a Tuesday night road game, like in Waco, and he can't do the call-in show, they'll have me do the Monday night, the thing from Applebee's. Done this two or three times, and occasionally I'll get they match me up with Jay Ronayne, the gymnastics coach, and I have so much fun with it because I'm like, Coach, you know, how in the heck did they even score this thing? I act like a total idiot because I don't know anything about gymnastics, but he's amazing. Have you ever heard Jay Ronayne in the interview?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's great. See, that's kind of what I want to do. That's kind of the vision I have of this podcast in the offseason. I want to get, like, Kevin Jackson on here and be like, dude, like, why is wrestling better than UFC? Go. And just go at it.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. You know what I mean? I love doing these. I got to get Jay Ronayne on the podcast. People will love it. He's a hoot. He's a hoot. It's one of the hidden gems at Iowa State is that gymnastics program. What are you guys laughing for?
I don't know.
You guys are like over here just giggling.
I just
like
love
a couple
you
of
using
school.
The term hoot.
He's a hoot.
You should be like, I don't know, 45 like me. Hoot.
Dude, I'm the oldest 30-year-old. Actually, I'm not. I wish I was. I'm so immature for my age.
Well, case in point, the way you started out the podcast, that I can't even want my dad to feel good after a freaking NFC championship.
I'm sorry, I don't know your dad, but I don't care, Rob. Like, if he's
like I said, you would have approved
if
when I was 11 years old.
If he is a Packers fan?
He had to leave the room if the Packers were beating the Vikings, because they never did. I was so mad and yelling at him.
I like your dad because he created you. But let me leave it at this. Your dad is no friend of mine.
As a Packers fan? Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. Who's your favorite team, Jared?
I don't have a favorite NFL team.
You don't
team.
Have a favorite in
No.
You're just like frickin' Bloom.
I'm a college football guy. I'm not an NFL guy.
Bloom is the biggest douche when it comes to the NFL.
Wow.
Here's what he does.
You should make him be a Raiders fan by default. Just kind of wave a magic wand.
Just say that he's a Raiders fan. That's...
Bloom doesn't pick a team, and all he does on Sundays is make fun of everybody else's teams. Except he married a Vikings fan, and I think Bloom is slowly – because we took him to a game this year, and I think he's slowly turning into, like, an actual Vikings fan. Poor bastard.
Yeah.
But I think he is. But, like, it drove me nuts in college. Like, he just – all he did was just root for whoever was playing the Vikings. Or if we had a friend who was a Packers fan, root who – like, it just drove me nuts. It's really easy to just ride the fence and make fun of everybody else.
I haven't thought about this, but how much must you – there's not much to envy me about, but the fact that I was old enough to actually, as a little kid, see the Vikings playing a couple Super Bowls on TV.
I said this when the end of the Randy Moss era was looming, when we all knew, when Randy was pretty upset.
Yeah.
I told my dad at the time, and I mean it today, I truly believe that I'm 30 – in my lifetime, I will never see the Vikings in a Super Bowl.
Not even in one.
Nope.
I can tell you, it's funny we're talking about the Raiders. The last one was 19 against the Raiders. I think it was 77.
It was
78. The Raiders. That was a bloodbath. That was a very different Raiders team.
I'm actually kind of glad that I wasn't alive then, because it would give me a take. It would just really tease me.
I went to a friend's house who was a Broncos fan, and he laughed at me the whole time.
Yeah. My best friend, you know him, Carper.
Mm-hmm.
He when the whole Saints NFC Championship game, you know, the one where they're targeting Favre's ankle the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He like when it became apparent. Oh, it was when Favre threw the pick, but when it became apparent that this just wasn't going to happen. I mean, he just was like blowing up my phone, just harassing me the whole time. And I was like hitting ignore. And my dad, it's funny because father, son, I get your relationship because I root for the Cowboys. They're my second favorite team because of my dad. And he, my dad's like the single nicest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody who's met him can attest to this. And he wanted the Vikings to win so badly for me because he'd watched me just suffer with this team for so many years. And it was apparent that year the Vikings were the best team in the NFL, I think.
Yep.
Maybe not the Colts. Maybe the Colts. I don't know. But he was so mad at my friend Carper. And we're sitting there. We're in my sister's basement watching this game. And I was with my grandma, who's the biggest sports fan in the world. And she was desperately rooting for the Vikings, too, for my sake. And Carper kept calling me, and my dad is like, why is he doing that? That is so rude. And he was just – he's like, no, that's just a mean thing. He was so ticked off at these jackasses who were basking in my defeat.
Every time that Nebraska plays, if they lose, that's what my phone's like. And it's not just one person. It's everyone
you
know, I know.
But you know, Jared, when you grow up in Southwest Iowa and you're a Nebraska fan, you just kind of got to – you got to buck it up, buddy.
I know.
I don't blame you because
I've lived with it this long.
You're the majority over there.
Yeah.
Okay? You're the majority. And I guarantee – why are you a Nebraska fan?
Well, my mom graduated from Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
And
well, that,
we have had season tickets since 1976. So
you're different because you actually – your mom went there.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of those Western Iowa fans, I just guarantee if Iowa or Iowa State were winning titles in the 80s, those people would root for that school.
Yep. I agree.
Now, there are the ones, like, say, who went there or who have family, like the Carper family I just talked about. Their whole family is from Nebraska.
Yep.
Totally get that. But you got to, you know, when you're a Husker fan in Iowa, you just
it's I've lived with it for this long.
It's par for the course.
It is what it is.
Hey, I get it. Whatever.
There was a time when it bothered me. It doesn't bother me anymore
Good.
Now.
You grow up a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I can tell you that Cyclone fans I know in Southwest Iowa just absolutely hate Nebraska fans in Southwest
and
Iowa.
And I get it because it's like
– it goes back to the Big 8, early Big earlier Big 12 too you're in Iowa, you know, that kind of feeling.
The Iowa, unless you've lived there, it's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. Shenandoah is worse than Clarinda. Mm-hmm. We grew up in Clarinda. I think Clarinda's probably.
It's actually more split, Nebraska and Iowa State fans, I think, in Clarinda.
But, like, I lived in Shenandoah for 3 years when I was working down there, and this is just one community, but that's not very far from Nebraska, and I bet it's like 75% Husker fans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's weird over there because then you get up to Northwest Iowa and you start to see more pockets of Hawk fans in there too, like your Sioux Cities and
because that's where all the Tavern Hawks and stuff like that are. But you like
there
that
are a few, yeah.
No. All right, we gotta go. We're about 5 minutes overboard here, but hey, it was fun today, gentlemen.
Yes, absolutely,
sure.
Jared. Good luck on your call.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night.
Yep. Thank you,
Rob. We'll look forward to some Kansas State stuff from you. I'm going to get on Bruce Weber's teleconference here after a while. And Kirk Holland will have a nice preview for you coming up. Reminder, we'll be at Benchwarmers on Thursday night from 6 to 7. Little Cyclone Fanatic radio show. Bloom will be back this week. He's got a column coming up on Wednesday. Locked and loaded, baby. Big 12 basketball season. Thanks for listening, everybody. Iowa Clinic Men's Center, we appreciate your sponsorship. Check them out, iamenscenter.com. Have a good Monday.